have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Just For You podcast with Pastor Michelle Y. Rice. We are so super glad you could be with us on today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am excited that you took time out of your schedule to stop by and listen to the Just For You podcast with Pastor Michelle Y. Wright. If this is your first time listening in, you are welcome. We welcome you once. We welcome you twice. We welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to send a shout out to our own producer and our visionary, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. I want to say to all of our Elation family, God bless you. I want to say I'm sending a shout out to my husband as well. But you know what? In addition to all of you attending and hearing and listening into this podcast, none of it would be possible without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to say I welcome our guest of honor, our Abba Father, and our elder brother, Jesus Christ, that he can come in and do whatever they want to do. And, of course, we need the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We need the Lord to lead and guide us. Well, listen. If this is your first time listening in, I would love to share with you what the Just For You podcast is all about. The Just For You podcast is designed to encourage, empower, and engage listeners to thrive spiritually and naturally, utilizing biblical principles. Just For You will reveal truths embedded in the Holy Bible to illustrate kingdom living, soul winning, compassion, and strategies to serve mankind, making a difference locally and globally. Just For You will allow listeners to hear teachings that are applicable, guests that will inspire, and opportunities for serving more effectively in the home, church, school, community, and marketplace. That is what Just For You is all about. Listen, before we begin on today, we always ask the Lord to come in and to have his divine way. We are looking for him to move and have his divine way on today. Will you pray with me? Abba Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you to come in to have your divine will and way show up, show out. Give us wisdom on what we're teaching about. Give us understanding on our topic today, the state that I am in. Give us Holy Ghost, not only wisdom, but understanding that we can apply this word to our lives and that we can become stronger and let your perfect and divine will be done. We want to say that we love you. We appreciate you. We ask that you be with every listener listening in, whether live or by the replay. Touch their homes, touch their hearts, touch their families, oh God. Provide needs. Show up and show out in their lives. Help them to hear something that will resonate in their spirit, that they can be all that you created them to be. And Father, we ask that it may be someone listening that needs to be closer to you, that we ask you come into their heart, their mind, their spirit, to draw them closer and to receive you. And Father, in receiving you, they become our sister and brother in Christ, and we are excited about that in advance. So Father, have your divine will and way. Forgive us all of our sins as we forgive one another in the mighty name of Jesus, and every distracting, every spirit that will be in operation that we fulfill forth in the name of Jesus, that you may be glorified. No weapon formed on today will prosper. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power in your word. And we say, have your divine will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, listen, I again always say thank you for God allowing us to make it back another week. We don't take it for granted that we woke up this morning, that we've done the things we've done to make it to this point. We thank God for his love, our Abba Father, for his grace and his mercy. And all this week, been allowing God to minister, to teach us and tell us the more, how to continually be in his presence, how to invoke us as a body of believers to take him at his word. And what does his word say to us? And what do we do about carrying and holding on to that word? Well, on today, we're going to be talking about the state that I'm in. I want you to know this is personal for each and every one of us as believers. We have to understand the state of our minds, the state of our health, the state of our finances, the state of whatever area that we are praying about, that it is the state we are in. And I have some hope and some word for you on today that you will be encouraged by, strengthened by. And we ask those of you that have your Bibles, your phones, your tablets, your computer, whatever means you do, to follow along with us in this word, that you can read it for yourself. Listen, it is important. I don't care who's teaching, to get the word for yourself, to understand that word is for you. God has carved out this time that we could fellowship together, that we would hear a word from him, that he would get all the glory from it, and that we would become stronger and fulfill his divine will in our lives. So on today, as we are talking about the state that I am in, we will be studying from Psalm 51. Psalm 1. It is not a chapter. It is a section of the Bible. Amen. And in here, we're dealing with David. David was talking about how his life was, sharing in the Psalms, how he felt in certain moments. On this particular psalm, he's talking very clearly about his heart's intent and what it means to be in the state that he is in. Will you journey with me to Psalm 51? I'll be reading from the King James Version, and you can follow along with me, make your notes, do what God gives you to do, that you may hear and have this word fall on good ground, that it's not stolen from you, that it's not shaken off of you, that this word will remain on good ground, take root, that you can live and mature by it. Amen. It reads as such: have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. I will be from time to time so that we can discuss this to get a full understanding out of this scripture. It first talks about having mercy on us and for God according to his loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Because we know he's a loving Abba Father. He has tender mercy to blot out our sins, transgressions, or our sins. You can put a side note there for sins, to blot them out. The Bible says, and two, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Let me stop right there. wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. What is that saying? It is saying for me to be in a place where he can cleanse me thoroughly. Wash me. Make sure I'm clean, not just on the outside, but on the inside. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Stop. In order to be healed, delivered, strengthened, and understood that God, our Abba Father, loves us, we have to acknowledge we have sinned. There are a lot of people who walk around in a fallacy, a fantasy world, even as believers, that believe they don't have to confess their sins, not to God, not to man, not to anyone, and feel that they are in right standing with God. The Bible says in the third verse, for I acknowledge my sins, my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. If you don't acknowledge your wrongdoing, it's damaging. It's damaging to you and all those that you have hurt and that are a party of what you failed to acknowledge. Why is this important? Because what you're doing actually is transferring spirits and causing other people to be damaged. What do I mean by that? Let's take an example. Have you ever heard or saw someone, let's say they got into a fight. The person that hit them never acknowledged that they fought it off. They never said they're sorry. That other individual is walking with pain and because of maybe disgrace, shame, and because they say if they were children brought into a principal's office, perhaps they would say something like this, if I did anything to hurt you, I'm sorry. What do you mean, if I did anything to hurt you, I'm sorry? When you were full aware that you hurt that person, but you refused to say I'm sorry because of your pride, because of your ability to want to excuse yourself from the sin. The Bible says you must acknowledge because he's ever watching. So it's not like because you explain it a certain way, it's not like if you feel like you're not going to put yourself in a place for him to deliver you, because if you don't feel you've done anything wrong, then guess what you'll do? If you're a parent and you live that way, your children will grow up under that, and then they will go outside your home and still won't have an understanding of how to be healed in relationships or how not to get in dangerous relationships because of the fact that they were taught or they received an example that started with them not being able to say, I'm sorry. It's very important. The Bible says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, and that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inner work part. Let me go back to this. Behold, thou, God, Abba Father, our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, desireth truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Let me stop. If he is desiring truth from us, and then he's willing to give us wisdom from our obedience of acknowledging our sins to be in right standing with him. Now, why is it that we don't acknowledge our sin? Purge me, purge Pastor Michelle, Pastor Don, purge listeners, purge Dr. Timmy Robinson, purge whoever that believes with him. And I shall, a believer, a blood-washed believer, purge him with his. And I shall be made clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity. I don't know about you, but I don't need half my sins taken away. I don't want a fourth of my sins taken away. I don't want a third of my sins taken away. I need him to blot out all my sins, transgressions, iniquities, all those things that put enmity between me and him to be erased. I need him to take them away. I need him to purge me. I need him to see me clean and whole. I need him to help me. Does anybody ever feel like you need the Lord to help you? Why? Because it is a vulnerable but godly position to be in. Who wouldn't want the hand of God to touch them when they needed him most? Have you ever watched children that are playing, and then all of a sudden they have fallen and they need your assistance? They need your attention. Do you think they're going to stay out there and just cry if they can't get up and come in the home? Most children that are hurt, they fall down, they have that adult that is with them or the person that is the caregiver, they know that they are there, they come running to that individual because they're in pain. They need that pain to be relieved. They want it to be taken away. That's how we should be as those children, to run to God. I have this issue, I have this concern, I have this problem, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, can you help me? I admit my wrongdoing in the case, that you may hear me and hear me clearly. I'm not going to flake out on God like I didn't do anything. I'm not going to tell him half the story or make it sound a certain way so that when I've learned to be a master at being a witch, come on here, because that's what is called witchcraft. When people deceive other people into believing a lie, it is witchcraft. It's a sin. Here's an example. I just have $50. I may have $200, but I may not want an individual to know that I have $200. So I say, I just have $50. Well, God know you have $200. He know that you voiced out of your whatever reasons, for whatever purpose, that you said, I have $50, and he's watching you sin and mislead, and to tell someone something you know isn't true. Now, one could easily say, well, that is the truth. I do have $50 times four, but you didn't say the times four. What am I saying is, don't be creative of words, trying to place them in phrases to mislead people intentionally and believe you're going to be blessed as a believer. Call lying. All right? He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. When you know there's a weak area in your life, when you know that you are falling, when you know that you can't make it without the Lord, you cry out desperately for him, and he will do it. Then we can get to this part, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, because you don't want to put something good in a dirty heart, in a dirty body, in a dirty mind. What's going to happen if you put a clean heart in a dirty mind? Your thoughts have to line up and subject itself to the word of God as well as what is in your heart. So you'll always have a conflict there. And that's kind of how we live on a day-to-day basis, because if we read scripture and fully understand it, the Bible says there's no good thing in the flesh. But yet we come to a place where we need him to come in. And when he comes in, we trust he will do what he says he will do in an imperfect body with a perfect God. Let me say that again. With an imperfect body, but with a perfect God. So you've got this going on. We all know that the Bible is true as a believer. We all understand that the choices we make are maybe according to what we're going through at that time, but do we base what we're going through on the word? Have we failed? Have we messed it up sometimes? Have we ever gotten to a place where we needed his help because we were in trouble? Then we can go to 11. Cast me not away. Hallelujah. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We don't need him to take away his Holy Spirit. We don't need him to destroy us. We don't need him to do those things. We need his love and his attention and his being, his presence with us. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. What? Restore unto me. Do you feel good when you sin and you're deceiving people and have no conscience about it? Or should you feel some type of way that when you're in the presence of those individuals or the things that you've done, that you have peace, that you receive your joy back, that he can uphold you, me and anybody else, with his free spirit? It's important. Because when we get to the point where we just continue to do anything, God forbid, the Bible says in Romans, should we continue to sin? God forbid. Let me go further. Should we continue to sin knowingly that we're sinning? God forbid. Because at the point we have no kind of balance to choose right over wrong, indicates to us we may not be as saved as we think we are. When we continue to justify that our lives are the way they need to be, when there's yet more to dig deeper in God to receive, to become all that he wants us to be. But it's going to require you acknowledging your transgression. It's going to require me to acknowledge my transgression. What does that look like? So when I pray, I don't want to just pray for me to get this and, Lord, I love you and I praise you and I want you to do this for me in my life. Then it becomes routine. You know, there are routine prayers. People that pray over and over, the same prayer over and over and over and over and over. It has no validity to the matter at hand. It has no validity to the thing that's really in their heart. But if you can cry out, Lord, forgive me. But don't stop right there. Help me to forgive others. because I don't want to be in error with blood on my soul that I can ask you to give me something that I dare not give to someone else. I dare not want to give them mercy, but I'm going to ask you for mercy. I dare not want to give them grace, but I'm going to ask you for grace. I dare not want to see them free and taken away from their bondages, but I want you to take away mine. Does that sound like a fair and a just God? Oh, but favor ain't fair. Oh, we know how to use that word. Oh, favor ain't fair. And you know, God does this for me. And God, but what about you're still what the Bible says to you and me? There's no good thing in the flesh. So how do we get around all of these things to please him? We acknowledge our transgressions. He can't heal you. He can't deliver you if you fail to acknowledge your transgression. I ain't saying, you know, the only thing I do is, and you know what, I don't curse, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do all that. Sound real good, but goodness won't get you into heaven. The only way you will enter into heaven is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then when you receive him, you must live a life that pleases him. He teaches us that when we come into the body of Christ, the first thing we must do is believe in our heart. Then we must confess that he is Lord, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10. We must confess he is Lord. So having that, knowing that, and understanding that, then how do we constantly end up on this thing? Well, don't nobody know. Did nobody see me? So how can they say I did this or that? God saw it. The Bible told us earlier in Psalm 51, my sin is ever before thee. So we're not getting by. In fact, it's like any parent. Have you ever been in trouble with your parents and you decided that you were going to hide the truth from them? But a good parent always knows. And every parent handles things maybe a little differently. But for the majority of parents, if you stand in your parents' face, and they said, little John, did you take the cookie out the cookie jar? Little John, no, I didn't take the cookie out the cookie jar. And, you know, I was over there playing. You didn't see me playing. That has nothing to do. This is a child, a spirit that has inhabited a child to teach them not only how to lie, but be very creative in their life. So little Johnny grows up believing, if I say this and try to prove my point, then maybe I'll get out of the fact that I lie and I sin and it'll be all right. No, I was over here and I didn't come over there and touch the cookie in the cookie jar and da-da-da. But what little Johnny failed to realize that when he stole the cookie, whether mom, dad, whoever the caregiver was in the room. Sometimes there's some evidence that goes with you not being truthful. Well, Johnny didn't understand that there were cookie crumbs on his face. So parents asked again, did you take the cookie out of the cookie jar? Oh, I didn't take the cookie out of the cookie jar, and blah, 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 blah. Now, here comes the age-old question. Well, what's that on your face? I don't know. I had then you get the telling off. There's a third time you could have told the truth. But instead, the human mind, the uncleanliness of the devil enters in and teaches you, keep going with it. So now you can tell three stories, three lies for the one question you were asked. And at some point, there's going to be a consequence. At some point, not only is there going to be a consequence, but it's going to be painful. So whether a phone is taken or there's physical tapping or there's something else going on, there has to be a consequence so that the mind isn't taught that to do these things, they'll get by. See the mercy, the grace that the Lord has. 13, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Listen, I'm going to use myself. I'm not going to wait and look at everybody else. I'm going to use myself, because we all have testimony, that someone else can see me through my going through my being able to show that it's an inward thing. But when we cry out, that someone may understand, they can cry out too. When we do it the way the Lord wants us to do it, it's important for us to realize that is what relationship is about. It's not just about, oh, I receive the Lord as my Lord and Savior, and we start speaking rhetoric, filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and all that sounds good. But can you tell the truth when ain't nobody around? Can you be upright and be okay with being upright? Can you admit you've done wrong? I don't want to do that because somebody might see me and they might think less of me, and they might, the devil is a lie. If I want to go to heaven, if I want to be right, I'm going to do what he asked of me, because knowing that there is cleanliness in the camp can get you put out of a whole lot of stuff. 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. All of you sage burners out there, all of you that believe you clearing the aura of your sin, lying, deceiving, manipulating, I'll burn a few sage and it's going to be all right. The devil is a lie. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, that thou wilt not despise. So are you telling me with all those actions I thought were outwardly, that the thing he was looking for most from me was a broken spirit, a contrite heart, I'm sorry, I knew I was wrong, I should have done better, God. Can you help me through this? Help me get to the place that you take it away, that it is not my desire to do it again. That's what true repentance is. Not, I'm sorry. If I hurt you, I'm sorry. Not, I want to say I'm sorry. But I'm filled with pride and can't say. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He says to serve him, or to serve as unto the Lord. Quick analogy. Jesus and all of his disciples, they're at the Last Supper. For one, it was the most uncomfortable dinner that could have ever been. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to go away. He's going to prepare the disciples for his leaving. And yet in the midst of them is Judas. Now you got to understand, at the Last Supper, he understood that Judas was going to do everything Judas did. You have to understand that he had enough love for Judas to understand that he was a transgressor. He knew his heart, he knew his mind, he knew his spirit, he knew he would lie, he knew he would deceive, he knew he would turn on him, he knew he would hide things from the entire group of disciples. He had to be sneaking off while they were sleeping. He had to be doing something that would give him a leeway to get with the group he was with to deceive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember Johnny and the cookie that he took out the cookie jar? See, what Judas failed to realize, not only was he all-seeing and all-knowing, but what he failed to tell, when he went and he made the deal for the 30 pieces of silver, he failed to say, not only did he know God, but he did what he did. Okay? He did it with the spirit that he did it in. He knew that there was trouble, and he had to make himself known to do the things that he had to do so that he could get out of it. Now, here's where repentance took place. And he knew that this wrong would not be where he can get out of it. He couldn't lie out of it. He couldn't deceive out of it. He couldn't. He couldn't. So what he did was he made the deal and nobody saw him. So he thought he was good. This is what I love about Jesus. The word is called conviction. Then conviction enters in. And after he's eaten and after he's done all these things, and he remembers Jesus did him no wrong. He remembers. Somebody going to find out, because who would be able to get this close to Jesus? And they were all supposed to love him, protect him, and walk with him, and do ministry with him, and be his friend, and love on him. And yet, somebody was coming after him. Immediately, if you're in a group, you're going to say, well, I wonder who did that. Did this one do that? Did that? Now you've created confusion, witchcraft in the group. Here everybody's getting along, fulfilling their mission, doing their things that they have to do for the kingdom. And all of a sudden, this spirit enters in. Now we're questioning each other. Now we're wondering who's loving, who's kind. Wait a minute. We just walk together. And yet, we don't even know each other fully. So here Judas is entered in to think he's torn up the camp. But he forgot. Jesus was all seeing and he was all knowing. And he was all knowing. And the compassion and the power and the love that he had, knowing they were coming for him, knowing who set it up, he was able to say, in love. They knew he had to be identified. This one that is Jesus of Nazareth. Kiss this one that we've heard so much about. Kiss him so we can identify him. So here comes Judas. And immediately the conviction overturns his soul. People say it's just a little lie. Some people even call it a white lie. Oh, it won't hurt nobody. I beg to differ with you. It crucified our Lord and Savior. The deception, the manipulation, the betrayal crucified our elder brother. So whenever you feel comfortable lying to yourself, lying about a situation, I want you to remember it crucified our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Which is why when I hurt somebody, I want to tell them I'm sorry. Whether they receive it or not is on them. But once I release it out of my mouth, I'm sorry. I hurt you in this area. Or I didn't understand it. Or I put clarity to what is happening. God can honor that. When you do, he can honor that. When you and I have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. But if you watch individuals and they have no compassion, no understanding, they don't even think about twice going back to apologize. And if you're a true saint and you see it and you say, hey, did you know you just did X, A, B, C, and D to so-and-so? And they don't have a compassion. It's concerning. Because imagine if there was no compassion among the disciples when they saw Jesus being taken off. He even said to Peter, before the cross, three times, thrice, you're going to betray me. What do you mean, Lord? I love you with all my heart. There's nobody that could take that love from us. You are my everything. You know, that's what he wanted to believe until he heard the cock crow the first time. Until he heard the cock crow a second time. Until he heard the cock crow thrice. It all came to him how true this gospel was. How the words of Jesus stayed in his heart. Here's the good news. After all he did, he was able to build a church on a rock, a solid rock. Judas, on the other hand, the grief of lying and the weight of all he did, to know he intentionally hurt and crucified the Savior, he took a different route. He tied a millstone, a rock, with a heavy, heavy, coarse rope and decided it wasn't worth living for. You see, this is why we have to be real careful allowing spirits in our lives that will destroy us. And when we acknowledge that it's there, we have to acknowledge it to God that he can blot out all of our transgressions. 19:18, do good in thy good pleasure unto thine. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullock upon the altar. What is he saying? You're unclean, and you're giving him things, and you're wanting him to, okay, let me go further. You're unclean, and you're singing, and you're worshiping, and you have dirty hands, and you have, come on here. He tells us, go get clean first. Because now you've created filth in the sanctuary. Nobody sees the dirt that you've done. Nobody hears. But listen, God knows all. We have to be quick to say, I'm sorry, God. Take this thing from, I don't know about you, but we are all like addicts. What do you mean? Because, see, some addicts can't control. Sometimes people can't control their life. They can't control having sex. They can't control doing things. So they feel helpless, and they feel like they can't get out of it. But here's what I love about Jesus. We all need him enough that, like an addict, we should cry out, help me. I'm in a bad situation. Look at me for the state that I am in. Help me. I don't want just to say, help me. I didn't think I did nothing wrong. If I did anything wrong, no, I sinned. I've offended you. I've broken your heart. I need you to help me. Every day we should be cleansing ourselves like that. I have sinned. I thought wrong. I said something wrong. I did something wrong. Yeah. And then the relationship, the power of the relationship is that he hears, I've got to feel this thing. He hears our cry. And he says to us, with loving kindness, I forgive you. And here's what I'm going to leave you with. How many times will you forgive that one that broke your heart, that deceived you, that betrayed you, that lied on you, that kept you in an upheaval of anger, frustration, and turned your world inside out? How many times you going, well, let me tell you what the new church is doing. The new church thing, now this is what they think. I see it on Facebook, and God forbid that I wasn't as strong as I am, I might just follow that. But I thank God I read the word for myself, and I won't be in danger of going to hell because of the things I've heard these so-called Christians say, which is, just cut them loose. You don't need to pray for them. You don't need to include them in your life, you know, because I can't deal with it. You're a lie. The Bible says you ought to forgive 70 times 7. So you mean to tell me, you new church, you people that believe you just cut everybody off, but yet you going to stand before the Lord when he called all his children together? Don't you think he going to identify you cut folks off? Didn't give them a second chance? Thought what they did was so bad? Now, I'm not saying be ignorant and just let people misuse you. What I am saying, you better learn how to forgive before the blood be on your soul. The Bible talked about blood guiltiness. A lot of folks ain't teaching this. They want to teach you how to shout. They want to teach you how to run. They're not going to teach you how to go in your prayer closet and say, Lord, look, I'm the dirty one. I did the wrongdoing. I need you to help me so that when I lift my hands, my worship is for real. And he can get some glory out of the situation because he sees all the uncleanliness in the earth. Don't we ever think that he's fooled by what it looks like because we look a certain way. He sees all, he knows all, and he hears all. Therefore, we must bring ourselves to a higher level. Learn how to forgive. Every prayer I pray is to ask for forgiveness. And then I always add in that you give hearts to forgive. Because what good would it be for me to ask for forgiveness for myself over and over, and I can't forgive you? And oh, I didn't throw this part in, and we're going to close out. Hey, all of you that throw around your tithes and offerings, and you ain't forgave people, it ain't even accepted. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You're going around, you put your money in church online, however you give it. But you have never, ever gone back to rectify the matter with your sister and brother. So you're walking around pretending you're giving God something. Check yourself. Read your word. Make sure you got that in order. Make sure you forgive it real good because you're in error and danger. But I gave you my tithes and offering, Lord, but your hands was unclean and there was blood all over you. What do you mean? I didn't kill anybody. You never asked for forgiveness. And you asked me to do it for you, but you never did it for those. I want you today to clear yourself. I need you to go before God for real and say, every ounce of me wants to be with you. And when I have to be with you, I need you to take any hidden crevice of any unforgiveness out of my life, that I can serve you fully and that you can be glorified. And when you're glorified, great things will happen. People will get saved for real. People will do the right thing. Yes, I know everybody want a fast. They want a church where you come in, you get a position, you get ordained, you get this, and then you can say you somebody. But do you have a praying spirit? Do you have a heart to forgive? Do you have a heart that will follow God? Because that takes a little time. So I kind of watch these pop-up churches, that's what I call them, pop-up and pop-out. They don't last long because they don't take the time. Jesus took time to nurture the disciples. Jesus took time to sow into their lives. Jesus took time to watch over their gifts. Jesus took time to make corrections. What am I saying? Pop-up church like popcorn. Be careful of friends, family members that don't forgive. Be watchful that you don't get caught up in the latest stream of Christianity, but no relationship. Why? Because we must be honest about the state we are in. Pray this week's exhortation has healed you, helped you, enlightened you, for you to be able to be closer to God. Because this is what this is about. Us growing in God, no matter what level we are, making sure we're purging and doing the right thing, giving him the glory for all that he's done, and knowing that he is good. There are some people who just live for the afterlife, not realizing down the line their souls are in jeopardy. I've always said to God, use me for your glory, because I'm going to be the first on that altar. First admitting, God, I need your help. Being the example for somebody else to understand they can come to the cross too, and it's okay to let him make it right for you. Would you keep that in mind as you go through this life? That in mind as you are watching and praying. Keep your eyes open in this season. Don't follow the latest trend, but follow the word of God. And know it for yourself so you're not tricked when he returns. That is my prayer for the body of Christ. That is my prayer for my husband, myself, for my family, for those that I love, for Elation Radio, for all of our loved ones and those we connect. Everybody that we say we name the name of our elder brother, Jesus Christ, and our Abba Father. That we don't talk the talk, but we walk the walk and live it. That true repentance can take place in the lives of all people. And that God will get the glory. If we live like that, this world will be empowered by the light that is within us all and see the difference for real. Acknowledge the state that you are in. Well, listen, we come to the end almost of another podcast. I want to let you know, if this is your birthday month, listen, we celebrate you. If you've had a new baby, graduated, bought a new car, a house, whatever God has blessed you with that brought you joy, we celebrate you. June is ending. This will be the final podcast of the month of June. God bless you, June babies. May God continue to keep his hand upon you and bless you. We also know on the opposite side, there are times you go through things and listen, you need prayer. I need prayer. Listen, God is available to you. Perhaps there's a loved one going through a crisis. Maybe there's someone afflicted. Maybe there's been a death. Whatever the situation has been, maybe there's a hardship financially. Maybe there's strain in the home. Whatever the issues are, we want you to know here at Just For You and Elation Radio, we are praying for you. We understand. We all, I know, we understand. We all need God. Then I want you to know, there are times you're going to stand in the face of need, and sometimes you physically cannot do it. Others around you cannot help you. I want to thank God for organizations and people that can come in and assist with needs such as United Way. United Way of St. Louis has various components of people and resources that can assist in your time of need. In St. Louis, the number would be 211. United Way is also set up across the country. You'd have to look up for your particular area what that number is and information that you would be informed. I also want to call your attention to the St. Louis County Library. There are a lot of good things going on, a lot of various events coming up. We want you to be well aware that they are there to serve you. Hey, I don't know about you. I always love going, I don't know what it was, about going to the library with my library card. Now, I don't know. I ain't been in a while. But when I came up, it was a joy for me. And when I, and as an adult too, let me say that, as an adult, and then I could see I can get books. Listen, there are a lot of books that people are going out buying that you possibly can get at the library. You have to seek and you will find. A lot of courses you may need. You may need certain books. You need to check out your library. They are there for you. I highly encourage St. Louis County Library. I've known and had an existing relationship with them for years. It is a great go-to. It is a place that job seekers can go and utilize the computers. It is also a place where you can go and get your copies made, and it is a benefit for the community. Please check out your St. Louis County Library. I also want you to know, there's another organization that does a lot of great work. They're instituting banks. They're doing everything that they can possibly see that needs to be done based on a community analysis. That is Urban League St. Louis, ULSTL.com. You can get on there, look up things that you may have need of. They have various programming. Please check them out. They are here for the community, and they do a great job. Recently have been awarded so much in grants and funding because of the great job they're doing. We highly thank President Michael McMillan and all of the staff there for the great work they're doing, as well as the Urban League St. Louis and United Way for all that they're doing. Michelle Tucker has done a fabulous job being a great founder of this organization, not founder, but president in her role, chairman, whatever her role is. Please, by all means, lift up these leaders. They are accountable for so many things in the community. I want to lift up community organizations and community leaders on today, praying that their works are not in vain. All grassroots organizations, people that are serving that nobody knows about, but they consistently behind the scenes continue to do great work. I want you to know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hold on, hold fast. God will send what you need. He's always on time. Your work is in existence because God has called and has need of you. And I don't want you to get heavy laden over the needs that are needed when God is going to supply that you're able to complete the work he has for you. So take that as something that you can run on with to give you a little more strength and a little more hope. To all pastors serving in the humbleness of your heart, yes, some may receive what they call a salary, some don't, but whatever the case may be, serve with gladness. Train your staff and church members. Help them to be stronger through the word of God, activating their gifts so they can make an impact on this world. I am praying for the government. I am praying for all of us that are living and breathing each and every day, that we will become more in tune with God and that he will get the glory out of our life. Will you pray with me and pray out? Father God, Abba Father, thank you for coming in. Thank you for leading, guiding, and directing us in this exhortation this week. May it fall on ears and good ground that it may be taken in and that people's lives will change and that they will do what is right, that you may be glorified and lifted up. I pray for our very own visionary, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Thank you for the vision you've given her. Thank you for the capacity of which she lives and all the things that you're stretching her to do for your glory. I want to thank you, oh God, for each person that listens in for every week. And they are with us, and they are constantly praying for us. We say thank you for them. I thank you for the person that just tuned in because they just wanted to hear or see what the podcast was about. I ask that you will bless them, God. Give them wisdom, give them strength, give them the ability to serve you the more. I am praying, oh God, that you help us all to be all that you've ordained us to be in this body of Christ, that this world may see who you really are by your love, by your mercy, by our forgiveness, by your forgiveness, that they can be engrafted in. And Lord, would you save on today and allow us to know that this podcast is making a difference in the lives of those that hear it, oh God. We thank you in advance. We ask again that you forgive us all of our sins, and we forgive others that we may be forgiven. And we cover these podcasts in the blood of Jesus, that where the blood of Jesus is, the enemy cannot come now. We pray against any backlash or anything that would come against the people of God that have heard this podcast, that are living and walking in truth, God. We ask that you do it and do it on today. And we will thank you forevermore in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray that you would hear all unspoken requests. If it wasn't prayed out of my mouth, but you know it is in the hearts of those that hear, I'm asking you, Lord, to do it on their behalf. And we will thank you and praise you forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, I want you to know, if you'd like to meet us here again, please do so. We're here on Wednesdays by the grace of God. It's 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also want you to know, on Fridays, please meet us at the club. That's the clubhouse. You can meet us, the Women of Elation, on Clubhouse. And that's Fridays at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Mondays, you can also see us on Facebook Live. That is for our ministry. Kingdom Wisdom Weekly can be heard on Mondays, 8:30 p.m. That is Central Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, if you'd like to send me your community announcements, you can do so at Michelle Wright on Facebook. That's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. I'll be happy to receive them and to announce them. I also want you to know, perhaps you want us to be in prayer for you. Please send those prayer requests to Michelle Wright on Facebook, and I will get them and I'll retrieve them. We will pray over them, and we want you to know when we say we're praying, we are praying. Most of you know that. You've inboxed me. I've inboxed you back, so thank you for praying with us. And then I ask humbly and graciously that you pray for me and my husband, Pastor Donald Bryan, as we are growing, we are being stretched than we've ever been stretched. And I tell you, it is a joy. But there are times when it gets heavy. So I'm asking that you pray for us as we continue this work in the Lord. And lastly, I want you to remember your family, remember your friends, and know that God is able, that you will get the glory. He will get the glory, I should say, out of all this being done. Depend on him. Hold fast to him. Never let the enemy see you sweat. Ha! Never let him see you sweat. Hold fast. You know it's right. And he will do it every time to show up and show out. I love you. This has been Pastor Michelle Y. Wright with the Just For You podcast. Please continue to pray for us as we're praying for you. And we love you so much. Oh, happy belated Father's Day to all of the fathers that had the opportunity to take in to this Father's Day, don't take your fatherhood for light. Make sure you make the most of those moments. Make sure you connect with your children and do what is right. And God will get all of the glory. Until next time, this has been Pastor Michelle Y. Wright with the Just For You podcast on Elation Radio. God bless you. Until next time. Hallelujah.
She had a dream that she could do it. How she lost her way and didn't stick to it. She wanted the house, the cars, the money. She did all that she could. In her mind, she was so focused. Doing overtime in the diner. Just wanted someone to wine and dine her. She didn't believe in herself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself, believe in yourself,
believe in yourself, even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. That you can when you can. She was diagnosed with cancer. Going to the doctor for some answers. They said she wouldn't make it, she couldn't take it. She did all that she could. Getting sick from the chemo. Bank account started looking real low. She knew she could make it, she wouldn't take it. She believed in herself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself,
believe in yourself,
believe in yourself,
even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can.
Yeah,
you can. Let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
Oh, you can make it. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Mm-hmm. Believe in yourself.
Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
Believe in